I Am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. A terrific short film that will premiere at the upcoming Doxa Documentary Film Festival is Fixed. It's a film that illuminates our global folly of tossing everything that's broken into the garbage. This film takes us to the Repair Cafe in Toronto. Volunteers gather once a month and fix broken items from the community for free. We meet some interesting folks who bring in varied items like an heirloom Bible, a blender, a robotic turtle, a vibrating hairbrush, among other items. Expert volunteer fixers get to work, and while they're fixing the items, saving them from the landfill, they talk, and we get a sense of community. But beyond that, the redemptive power of repairs. Kat Mills is a graduate of the University of British Columbia. She directed Fixed. She lives in Toronto now, where she is currently in production on a short documentary called Big Men, Small Dogs, and a feature on Mr. Bob. The film screens Monday, the 8th of May, at the Pacific Cinematheque. That's at 9:30 p.m., and it'll run again at the Orpheum Annex Thursday, the 11th of May, at 3 p.m. Visit doxafestival.ca for tickets and information. Please welcome to the Planta Online program in Toronto today, Kat Mills. Ms. Mills, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This is, I was telling you just before we started, such a charming film, such a nice film about these remarkable people that you've encountered. But beyond that, just about where we are in our culture, in our society, that if something is broken, we just throw it out.
Yeah. So it is becoming a big problem. We have a very disposable society of convenience. Things will get thrown out when all they need is a battery replaced. And we're sort of getting to this point where we just go, like $5, $20 just to get a new one, I'll get a new one. Without even really thinking about the fact that it is actually quite simple to repair these things, and why not learn something and try to start with.
So you grew up here in Vancouver, is that right?
Yeah, I grew up in Mission, actually.
I see, yeah.
And I went to UBC in Vancouver.
Yeah, so you made your way out to Toronto. How did you encounter the repair cafe there? Did you have something that needed fixing?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story, because I was, after UBC, I went to Europe for a few years. I was living in England and then Malta. And my visa was expiring, so I came back to Canada, and I was in Vancouver for a bit, and I was trying to figure out where I wanted to live next. And I thought, well, I've done Vancouver. I know Vancouver. I've never done Toronto. So I was looking into moving out here for the sake of something new, and I was looking into seeing whether there were actually interesting things happening in Toronto. I have a love for kind of weird and quirky things. I have a festival or a web series about weird festivals, so I was just researching for interesting things happening in Toronto, and I came across the sharing economy, which kind of fascinated me, the idea of pooling resources instead of buying new things. Like, you've got the tool library where you can borrow tools, etc. And the repair cafe popped up. And I just loved the concept, because I thought it was so simple, almost as kind of stupidly simple, that we never think about repairing these things. I mean, it's such an easy thing to do. But I love that it was challenging our throwaway culture and bringing people together to create community, as well as teaching you how to do new things. And I thought those were three things that we're starting to miss in our society.
Yeah.
And I love that it was captured in this one group. So I had watched some YouTube videos about it, and then I decided, oh, I'm going to move to Toronto, partly because I really like this idea. And because I wanted to just do something new. So I started going to repair cafes to check it out, to see whether it would make a good film.
Mm-hmm.
And over the months, I got the purse fixed. I got my boots fixed. I got a monitor looked at. It couldn't get fixed, unfortunately. They've done a coffee maker for me. Every time I go, I find something that needs to be repaired. And I've really enjoyed sitting down with them and learning how to actually fix it, because it's really encouraged me to try to do things on my own as well.
Yeah, that's the thing that people listening to this might not understand. You don't simply just bring your item there and get it mended. I mean, you can do that, but I mean, there's one guy in the girl who brings her, I don't know what that thing's called, where you make smoothies.
The blender.
Yeah. So he's sitting with her, and they're chatting, and he's showing her how the thing works, and so that she has a better understanding of it, and then she gets in there. She's mucking about in the mechanism, seeing what the problem actually is. And unfortunately, I don't spoil anything, but the blender doesn't survive. She has to get a new one. But I mean, it's a marvelous way for people to get to know each other. But beyond that, to get to know how these things that we use, how we want fixed, how they work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I've really enjoyed learning. And even when I have something that can't be fixed, I'm still keen to see it taken open because I don't always have the tool to do it. And to see, learn from these people that know what they're doing about what's actually wrong here. And, oh, you see this one little component. Oh, it just needs a 15-cent fuse, and then your lamp works again. And that's really quite liberating and empowering to be able to identify the problems with the objects in your life and to take control and bring them back to life so that, you know, the objects that we have in our houses are things that actually mean something to us. You know, we care about it. It's my grandmother's lamp. It's not just a cheap lamp I got at a shop. And keeping it alive so we can keep these things that we care about.
Yeah. Who are these fixers? I mean, other than being terribly patient people, what sort of brings them together when they put together this cafe? They do it once a month, do they?
Yeah, they do it once a month. They sometimes hold mini cafes, so there might be four people instead of, you know, the 20. But a lot of them are retired. So there are people that actually grew up learning how to fix things, which our generation seems to be lacking. We might know how to program stuff. We don't know how to fix stuff. So they have that skill set that we don't necessarily, that younger people don't necessarily have. A lot of them are in the environmental movement, so they like, preventing these objects from ending in landfills. That's a big motivator for them. And a lot of them are just handy people or who have a passion for making things. They're makers or they're repair people or, you know, a lot of times somebody might come in to get, say, their toaster fixed because they don't know how to work with electronics. And they see that there are sewers there and they go, oh, I know how to sew. And they come back and they volunteer as a sewer. So it's sort of this movement that's really spreading and it's really pulling everybody in and they're excited to participate and to help people out because it is strangers helping strangers.
Yeah, and the people that come in with their items, I mean, the ones we see in the film, I mean, they come from all walks of life, don't they?
Yeah, they do. It's you get people there that are going there just because it's free and they can't afford to buy a new thing, so that's an element. You get people that, again, are environmentalists, and they want to keep their objects going for as long as you can. Other people want to learn.
Yeah.
I really go, even if I don't have something to fix, I try to go because I just love the community. I love walking around and talking to people about the things that they brought and hearing these stories from them. So it's just like a nice place to go and meet new people as well.
Yeah, and a lot of the things, I mean, are, as you said, they can't afford to buy a new one, so they want to get that fixed. And then there was a lady who brought in something very sentimental, a family Bible. And, I mean, that's something that obviously you couldn't just throw out. And she wanted to use it again rather than just say, have it on a shelf there. And so you have someone like a bookbinder there to do that sort of work, right?
Yeah, and the bookbinder is, that's Andy, and he's very, there's not that many bookbinders around. And so it was really, it's quite a treat to have. We really wanted to cover him because nobody ever thinks about repairing their torn books. And he has a lot of knowledge about how books were made depending on how they were bound and copyright things. So he's kind of an interesting historian, which unfortunately we weren't able to explore. We weren't able to explore as much of the potential of all these characters in such a short amount of space.
Yeah.
But they were all very interesting, interesting folks.
Yeah, when I saw the thing, I must say I was disappointed that it was only as long as it was. I wish it was longer because I wanted to know. I wanted to see more people. I wanted to know these fixtures a little bit more because it just seemed. The people coming in to get their things repaired had stories to share.
Yeah.
These fixtures must have just as many stories.
Well, and that's great to know because we got it won the short pitch competition last year at Hot Doc, so it was only supposed to be a maximum 15-minute project. So we thought it would make a nice short, but there's definitely room to make something longer out of this because the content is so, the people are so interesting, the stories behind the objects are so interesting, the idea of how they actually fix it, the technical stuff is really interesting as well. So there's so many roads you could dive into with just this simple concept.
And is it your contention, just as my observation growing up now, that things made today aren't, they're obviously cheaper to purchase, but they're less reliable than they once were, say, if you bought the same thing 50 years ago?
Yeah, they are. And actually, there's a really interesting project called The Story of Stuff, who shared our trailer, which was great because we got a lot of hits from that. But they're basically challenge our consumer society. And the woman who founded that, she actually talks about finding these old journals from the 60s in which manufacturers and designers had figured out designs to make things only last 3 or 4 years, make them last long enough so that the consumer still has faith in the company and will go back to the company to buy a new one. I mean, stuff in the 70s used to come with lifetime guarantees.
Yeah.
And that's really rare to find now. It's starting to kind of slowly come back. I think a few producers are getting back into that. But we've kind of become complacent in our expectations of how long we expect these things to last for. And it's quite troubling, particularly with technology.
Mm-hmm.
A huge percentage of our toxic waste is e-waste, is electronics that are not being recycled. And the idea that you need to get a new phone every 2 years or a new computer every 3 or 4 years is absolutely ridiculous. Why do we need to have the latest of these things? Are they really contributing that much to our quality of life, or can we extend the life of it? Because you're not only looking into the raw materials that are, you know, getting mined, where are they coming from, who's mining that? There's a whole bunch of human rights violations as well as environmental problems and limited resources. It all gets assembled somewhere, turned into parts, and shipped overseas, and put on our shelves, and then we go out and drive to buy it. And there's a huge amount of waste that's produced with these things that we don't care about, and we don't keep for very long.
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad.
Yeah, I mean, this film, rather than introduce us to some interesting people and a marvelous concept, makes us think about ourselves and how we consume and what we buy, what we use. I mean, that's, I think, the gift of this film. It gives the viewer pause in terms of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Which is what we were hoping for. And I mean, even something like, I have a poster in my bedroom that I got when I was 18 of Nick Cave when he was in his angsty 80s phase. And I've had that forever. And it's got, you know, all these marks on it from thumbtacks. I think my cat has torn a chunk out of it. But that poster means something to me because I've got a story associated with it. So when it comes to eventually framing it, which I will, I'm going to frame my old crappy poster rather than find a new one because that poster's been with me. You know, the Repair Cafe has challenged me to think about how I feel about the objects in my life, what I actually need, what I actually enjoy, and to take better care of the things that I have. You know, sunglasses get scuffed up and I go, oh, I need to buy another pair of sunglasses. Like, we need to take better care of our stuff and care about our stuff because it is actually important not to become, you know, too materialistic, but maybe have less but care more, I think is important.
Yeah. Now, your producer, Joelle Caballo, is from here, as is your editor, Mark Ratzlaff. We have places here in Vancouver that do the same thing in Toronto, is that right?
Yeah, there are. I know Joelle has gone out. There's a few of them. Her names, this is very embarrassing, are escaping me at the moment.
Yeah,
I know Joella's gone out.
Yeah, I've seen the links on your Facebook page, the Fix Facebook page.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
People can go there. Yeah.
Framework, I think, is one of them. Joella's gone to those ones. I haven't been back in Vancouver for a little bit, so I haven't attended those myself, but I know there's different sewing events and tech events, and the movement is really growing, and it's growing around the world, which is very exciting to see people pursue this and build community and learn new things. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the spoiler alert, at the end of the film, you give out the figure of how many items this one particular repair cafe in Toronto has saved from going into the landfill, and it's in the thousands, right?
It is, yeah, it is. And I think they have a success rate of around 70 to 80% of the stuff that they fix.
Yeah.
And it's great because I mean, not everything can be fixed, and so we really wanted to show that in the film. We didn't want to create an unrealistic expectation, but some items can't be fixed because they've been defined not to be fixed. Some can't be fixed because now the parts are impossible to find, or the batteries are impossible to find. But I've been really surprised in my own personal experiences with bringing stuff in, how creative they are in actually repairing stuff. I mean, I've had hinges break on purses, and they thought of punching new holes in the side and you know, creating a new kind of hinge to do it. And I just thought I would have to get rid of the purse, but now I get to keep it because of creativity.
And so, having attended these things as you have you gotten creative? I don't know if that's the right word, but have you gotten, say, savvy in terms of fixing things yourself?
I have, yeah, and a lot of that comes from me just challenging myself and knowing that other people are doing it, so why don't I try to do this as well? And I think a lot of times we're kind of raised with this fear of failure, and because of that fear of failure, we don't try to do new things, when in reality you've got nothing to lose. I mean, if something's broken, why don't you try to fix it? It's not going to, I mean, it might break a little bit more, but you're going to learn something in the process, as long as you don't, you know, zap yourself. But I've taken to fixing some furniture. I found some broken furniture with legs coming off, so I've fixed those. I've taken to upcycling things, so I find old rusted out, you know, tea lanterns or tea light lanterns, and I paint them up with new paint and pry out the tea holding or the candle holding part and put plants in them so they overflow, and I hang those around my house. So it's fun to look at something that somebody considers garbage and figure out how you can bring it back to life.
I mentioned in the introduction that you're working on this feature on Mr. Bob.
Who's he? Mr. Bob is the world's oldest air guitarist. And so he's going to be, he's 73 right now, and I think it's, right now it's looking that we'll film him next year when he goes to compete in the World Championships of air guitar in Finland, which happens to fall on his 75th birthday. And so he's a really fun character who's quite adamant in the idea that life begins at 70. So, that's a really fun project, on air guitar.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that, but until then we'll watch Fixed at Doxa. In terms of filmmaking, I mean, what do you like watching yourself?
I like watching things that tell me about something that I've never heard of. And I think that is a lot of the inspiration that I take when I'm making something, is, have I ever heard of this before? And it might make me stop and be like, oh, I've never heard of that before. How unusual, how unique. And my mother was an environmental columnist growing up, so I mean, environmentalism was always big in our radar as kids. But I like the quirky, I like the unusual, I like the kind of strange and the weird, because it's fun, and I think it's important to show. I don't think documentary has to be depressing all the time. That sounds like all documentaries are depressing. It's obviously not the case, but they tend to carry a lot of weight because they're usually tackling really important issues that people should know about, and that we should, you know, change our behavior or try to help other people. And I really like trying to find stories that do inspire and provoke change, but they do it in a way that's empowering and exciting and making people want to get involved rather than scaring them or making them so sad that they have to get involved.
Yeah.
And there's so many nice stories, too. It's kind of fun to show the fun stuff happening in the world.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about Doxa, is just the variety of things that one can see, including Fix this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's part of a program on Shorts, which is really fun, and all of the other ones, Shorts on Stuff.
Yeah.
Exploring the concept of stuff, which is really interesting.
Yeah. I like to ask filmmakers when I talk to them about, say, one or two favorite films that they like that we have to see as an audience. I mean, is there something that comes to mind?
Yeah, the one that I've been thinking about the most the last year, and I saw it at Hot Docs last year, and it's called The Happy Film. And it's about a designer, Stefan something. I believe he's Austrian. He lives in New York. And he made this film. They shot it over 6 years, in which he's sort of, I mean, it kind of goes in a few different directions, but he's vaguely pursuing happiness, and he's pursuing it through meditation, therapy, and then drugs, pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
But through the course of it, and because he's a designer, he's got all these great transitions. So, I mean, he'll write a sentence out in blocks, and then the sun sets, and then shadows cast this question in the shadows, and or he'll write something on a piece of glass in cream cheese, and then a dog will come and lick it off. Like, it's just visually a really fun movie to watch. But also throughout the film, he falls in love a few different times. And it's just so enjoyable to kind of go along with him as he's riding these highs and then unfortunately lows of falling in love with these different people. It's just a movie I really enjoyed watching. So I would recommend The Happy... It was a happy movie or happy film. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah. Well, we can look it up. I think I read about it in the Globe
yeah.
a year or so ago. So, I mean, it's something that, you know, I'll put that on my list of to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time today. It's a pleasure talking to you. This is a great film. Congratulations on it, and continued good luck with it.
Well, thank you so much, and it was great chatting with you as well.
Visit doxafestival.ca for tickets and information. The director of Fixed, Kat Mills, joined me on the line from Toronto and Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunta.